you. I love you back. And that's not just words. I mean it. Now, I'm not saying I'm nervous, but if you see me wiping, was that me? If you see me wiping sweat, where is that microphone at? It's in my pocket, isn't it? Off my face. It's not nervous. I have to sweat or I'll explode. But I may have said this last year, but in April 1st of 2006, I was electrocuted. Some people say I got struck by lightning, but no. I just don't like lightning anymore. Which is fine with me because Jesus said I saw Satan fall as lightning from heaven. So I don't like it. Anyway, I was under my house doing some knick-knack chores and I was trying to move a cable. And what I didn't know at the time was that I was on my hands and knees on wet ground. And what I didn't know was that the electrical line that ran under our house, exactly where I was, had ruptured. It busted open. The sheathing had busted open. And the water got to it. And so now I'm on all fours on a bed of electricity. And I don't know it. And I yanked on the cable that I was trying to move, and it wouldn't let go. So I'm going, man, I'm halfway underneath my house, the long way, and I'm going, I'm going to have to crawl on my belly the rest of the way to get up there, which I've done it before, but I didn't want to have to do it again. So I made that decision, go ahead, and I lean forward. And my right shoulder, I have a stripe right here on my shoulder, made the connection with the metal beam under the house. I now am the circuit because I've connected the electricity that's coming through my hands through my body out my right shoulder to that beam. Now I was hoping to have superpowers after that, like this. I could but that didn't show up. It lasted almost a minute, I think. I couldn't move. All I could hear was a low rumble in my ears. What I saw in my eyes was sort of like a tie-dye t-shirt. It was just colors moving around in my eyes. And I knew I wasn't breathing. At first, I didn't know what was happening. But then I realized, I guess, that I was being electrocuted. And this was Saturday, April 1st, 2006. And I said, Mike, you're going to go stand before God today. This is it. This is your death day. You're done on this earth. And you're fixing to go stand before God. Now, what do you think I did? Yes, sir. I couldn't talk. I have kind of a memory of maybe I was making a noise with my voice or something like that. I don't know. But even when you can't talk, you can pray. Even when you can't say words, you can pray because you still have a heart. Now, the danger was mine could have stopped beating. But I realized I wasn't breathing. And if something didn't change, I was dead. So I prayed and made my peace with God. And then I waited to die. Seemed like a long wait. And just about the time I thought that I was fixing to pass out from not breathing and the stress on my body. I figured this is it. The last thought that went through my mind was, I don't want to leave my wife and children. And as soon as I thought that, boom, it let go. God pulled me off. And I dropped down to the ground and I screamed as loud as I could. My son, Matthew, was outside playing. That was 2006, but he was 10. Not quite 10. And he heard me scream and he came running. Dad, what's the matter? I said, go get your grandpa. And Lisa's dad lives next door. And he came running, asked me what happened. I said, I got electrocuted. Well, he knew what to do. He went right to the meter and pulled the meter right then. Now, when it let go, I thought that I could probably crawl out then, but I didn't know what I'd touched, and I wasn't going to move again. But by the time Sterling came and hollered at me, I couldn't move a muscle. The doctor told me that whatever rate the electricity was flowing through my body, that's how much my muscles were twitching. And I literally felt like I had power lifted 800 pounds for an hour. And the firemen came. They were complaining that they had to drag me out from underneath there. I don't know why. I only weighed 325 pounds then. But anyway, they helicoptered me to St. John's Mercy Hospital, which is a burn unit hospital. That's where they take all electrocution people. And they x-rayed me, they CT scanned me, MRI'd me, looked at my heart, and they said, you're fine. I said, no, I'm not. I can't move. And they said, well, you know, you're ready to go home. I said, I can't go home. And they said, why not? I said, they cut all my clothes off in the helicopter, and I'm not going anywhere. So the liberal woman chaplain, God bless her, went to the store there at the hospital and got me a pair of sweatpants and a t-shirt to go home in. And when I got home, I could not move for days. So I've had the electricity went in both hands here. I've had an operation here to repair damage here. I've had my shoulder completely redone. And sometimes it feels like it needs it again. But what it left me with is a lot of nerve damage. And see, what's going on with me right now is this is hot all the time. My face is red hot. My head is red hot all the time. But the rest of my body's freezing. And I have leg cramps every night. If my legs get cold, if my feet get cold, I jump out of bed, walk around. And it's not a fun life. So your pastor bought me, this is my biggest fan over here. I really appreciate him. But it's helping me out a little bit. And your pastor takes Lyrica. And I found out that if I take Lyrica, it calms a lot down. So last night, if you were seeing me coming up here going wipe and wipe and wipe, eventually I quit doing that. And what happens is that calms it all down for a little while. All right. While I'm talking, let's see if I do this, what happens? There we go. Now, I told you tonight we're going to get weird. And I tried to download this on my tablet. It wouldn't work, so I'm sort of looking down here at what I'm supposed to be looking at while you're looking at it up there on the screen. This is United States Navy video from a United States naval ship recently leaked out from the Pentagon of a naval encounter with what they now call a UAP, unidentified or unknown aerial phenomenon. In 1948, 1950, they were flying saucers. In the 1960s and 70s, they were UFOs. But now nobody likes that term. It makes people uncomfortable. People say they're not real. Nobody wants to believe in them. People that see them don't tell anybody that they saw them. Nobody wants to admit anything. Nobody wants to talk about things that came in their bedroom in the middle of the night. Nobody wants to discuss that because people, there's this stigma that goes with it. People think they're crazy. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not nervous about this tonight, but I'm always apprehensive to bring this to a church. These are Navy photographs. These are, Naval Air Force photographs. This video, there was a fleet of triangular-shaped flying objects chasing this naval warship on duty out at sea. This video here is the Aguadilla Air Force Base in Puerto Rico. It is a FEMA Air Force Base, and they have their infrared camera on, and you're about to see the weird, there it is right there, an unidentified flying object. Do you see it? They're chasing it. It's right there. Come on. Right there. Now, they're looking at it in infrared because on their regular video cameras, it cannot be seen. But they pick it up on infrared. And it's flying across restricted airspace. This is a felony if you do this. So to fly it across restricted airspace, they have no idea what it is. It doesn't have wings. It doesn't have a jet engine. It has no output from an engine. It's just moving along at a very high rate of speed. In a moment, it's going to go out over the open sea. And what you're going to see when it goes out over the sea, it's going to disappear down in the water. Now, when I say disappear, it will not make a splash. There it is, a close-up. You're going to see it disappear in the water. 3, 2, 1. There it goes. Never a splash. It was as if, there it is again. It popped back up. Now you're going to see it divide in two. It's under the water now. When it pops back up, it's going to split off into two objects. They're looking for it. It went into the water, did not make a splash, and it moves as fast through the water as it did through the air. We have nothing that can do that. There it is. Now there's two of them there. And that's going to be just about the end of the video. They're both going to disappear in the water, and that's going to be it. It vanishes from sight, and they can't find it anymore. They don't know what happened to it after that. There was no more sightings. There was no more activity, nothing. They don't know what it was doing there. They don't know what it was. There was no contact made from it. There was no transponder on it sending out a signal that it was such and such airplane, which is what you're supposed to have. These are all pictures from a U.S. Navy submarine somewhere around 1973-74. The submarine rose up to the surface because it detected something on sonar and went up to the surface. This thing came flying up out of the ocean. And the captain, who was looking at it, took photographs of it. He didn't know what it was. But this thing was moving as quickly through water as it did in the air. This is a guy's camera, security camera on his house. And you're going to see right here a light. See it?
Yeah.
It's going to vanish off the screen. I think the guy that did the video on this, he's going to show it again here in a minute. It just disappeared. This may be a little too long, but I really can't fast forward it the way it is now. But anyway, he's going to show it again. While you watch that, I'll continue talking. I'm always apprehensive about bringing this subject up because it is such a taboo in this country. Again, when people say, I saw a flying saucer, I saw a UFO, or I saw something in the night sky, I cannot explain what it was, made no sound. It hovered over us and so on and so on. People will look at them like they're crazy. I mean, I ask people, have you ever seen a UFO? And they go, why? Why are you asking me this? I asked a pastor that one time, and he said, you know, I just don't see the relevance of it. I don't see the big deal of it. And this is a close-up of the same video you've been seeing. It comes up. It turns. Again, there are no wings. There's no propeller. There's no jet stream coming out of the back of it. No exhaust. And that's how things move in this world. We burn fuel. And because we burn fuel, there has to be the fuel vapors have to go somewhere. And we exhaust them out the back of jets and cars and trains and everything else. And that's how we operate things in this world. Ships and everything. But these things never, ever have a sign of any sort of propulsion system, any sign of having wings or a tail fin or drone mechanisms or anything like that. There's never anything like that seen on these. Now, I'm only showing you, this is another, I think this was taken in France maybe. Here's another one. Looks like the desert southwest. A guy captured this on his phone video. This is various ones that have been seen over different cities. There's another one. Here's one. A guy captured a saucer looking like object. There are different types of objects. This is from the International Space Station. And they're zooming in on an object that somebody noticed. There's always a camera on the International Space Station looking out at space. You can tune in to it on the internet. Somebody zoomed in and saw these 5 objects. One of them was larger than the other four. And again, silence from NASA, silence from the Air Force, silence from the Pentagon. They're not telling us anything. They're saying, well, we don't know what you're talking about. There was nothing that happened. I don't know what you saw, but we didn't see anything. And it's the same routine every time. It's only been this year that something, and I'll show you that in a minute, something has actually been done on the official United States level to deal with the subject of what people are seeing. This guy has got a camera in his car. He captures this triangular UFO traveling. There are many of these seen. There was an incident in the St. Louis area where one of the local news channels did a 30-minute documentary on it and aired it locally on our Fox station up in St. Louis because one of these flew over St. Louis into Illinois. Several police followed it down the road as it went. The thing never made a sound, and it was huge, bigger than anything anybody had ever seen. They have no idea what it was, where it came from. It was flying very close to an Air Force base over in Illinois, just east of St. Louis. Here's two more of those triangular-shaped objects. These are being seen now probably as much as the saucer-shaped things. I think that's a repeat of the video we saw a while ago. Apologize for that. But anyway, I've brought this subject now. All right. Take a look at this. A pastor, friend of mine, I'm going to see him in a few weeks, sent me this picture. His cousin took this picture. Now, there's an arrow pointing to something in the sky. And here in a moment, I'll give you sort of a better detailed view of it. But it's pointing to something in the sky. When he zoomed in on the picture and highlighted it, there is a very large saucer-shaped object with windows and lights on it. You see the lights? Right here. And a guy that had done 3 tours in Iraq came to our church visits. I asked him about how big that was. He looked at it in comparison to the mountains. He said, that's about 1,000 meters in diameter. That's over 3,000 feet in diameter. We don't have anything that flies that's 3,000 feet big. We don't have anything like that that we know of. And I actually have this photograph. He showed it to me. I went to his church, did a talk on something. He showed that to me. He said, this comes directly to me from my cousin. I trust her. This is not photoshopped other than to highlight the picture so you could see it a little bit better. But that's a thing in the sky. It's a real object. Everything that you've seen so far has been a real object in the sky. And they are being seen every single day. Somewhere around the country, somewhere around the world, these things are being seen everywhere. Used to be, it was very difficult at best to get an image of a UFO because, 50, 60 years ago, who carried cameras around all the time? Who carries cameras around all the time today? Everybody. So now, everybody with these phone cameras is they're seeing things in the sky that they cannot explain, that they've never seen before, that usually never make a sound. They have no idea what it is. They take a photograph of it or they shoot a video of it. These things pop up on the internet every day. I follow a few channels on YouTube, and the guy's putting out content 2 or 3 times a week. Every week, new UFO videos, new UFO pictures coming out. They're all over the world, everywhere. Most governments of the world, including China, Russia, we know Japan, we know France has done it, we know Ecuador has done it, we know Great Britain actually released a large portion of their UFO records to the public. They hired a guy named Nick Pope back in the 90s to serve the Ministry of Defense in the United Kingdom, and he was their UFO specialist. They used him to investigate UFO sightings in the United Kingdom. He now does all the ancient alien shows and all the UFO shows on History Channel, things like that. He's a speaker all over the world, so on and so on. Now, this article came out just yesterday. A guy that follows our ministry sent it to me. Ukraine, now. Ukraine, because they're involved in a war with Russia, and they want to know what Russia's up to, have trained cameras up into the sky to make sure that no planes are flying over, no rockets, no missiles, or anything like that. And their astronomers now are saying that there are, and this is their words, tons of UFOs over Kiev, Ukraine. This came out yesterday. This is brand new news. And this is what they're saying. I think I got a clip from the article. Well, here's another one. This happened in May. Congressional hearings on UAPs, unknown aerial phenomenon. Surprises that came up during the Tuesday House panel. What happened was Congress got involved. And they asked these Pentagon chiefs, we want answers. We want to know what these things are. We want to know what you know about them. We want you to testify and swear under oath what you know, what you don't know, what you have, what you don't have. Now, part of that was public. You could see it on TV. You watch it on C-SPAN, watch it on the internet. Then they shut the doors, lock the door. They're going to have a behind closed doors, top security meeting, classified meeting with these Pentagon chiefs about what they really need to tell Congress. Because Congress has oversight over the defense of the United States of America. That's their job, to make sure that we're being protected. And these congressmen are coming out and saying these things are a threat. The article says Tuesday morning, in an eagerly awaited House panel hearing that was held in Washington to address the Department of Defense and its involvement with investigations of unidentified aerial phenomena, more commonly known as UFOs, the actual primary focus of Tuesday morning session held by the Subcommittee on Counterterrorism and so on, of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, and overseen by Representative Andre Carson, Democrat of Indiana, it ended something that the Democrats are leading the charge on this. Hillary promised that if she got in the White House that she was going to release the records, turn over everything that they had. She didn't make it, though, praise God. Dealt with the Pentagon's new airborne object identification. and synchronization group, why does the Pentagon have to have 4 mile long names for stuff? Unidentified error phenomena, this is what the senator said. Unidentified error phenomena are a national security threat. Carson said, as the hearing began, UAPs are unexplained, it's true, but they are real. This is a sitting House of Representatives man going on the record saying, don't tell me that they're not real. Now, here's what I'm going to do. Compare UFO sightings all over the world for the last 10 years with sightings of Santa Claus. There are literally thousands of photographs in the public, videos, testimonies from people who have seen these things and reported them. Police have investigated them and actually found evidence that something landed somewhere. There are no pictures of Santa Claus anywhere. No real pictures of Santa Claus anywhere. There's no video of a sleigh landing on somebody's house with 8 tiny reindeer. There's no home security camera footage of a jolly fat man sliding up and down somebody's chimney laying presents on the street. There is none of that. So I'm not talking about, so I would not stand behind God's pulpit, this man's pulpit, and deliberately lie to you about something that's made up. So I'm not telling you there's a Santa Claus. And we have proof that there is. We have thousands of photographs. We have books written every day about Santa Claus sightings all over the world. I'm not telling you that. What I'm telling you is that whether you want to believe in them or not is irrelevant. They're real. And I've been curious all my life, since like the fourth grade. The fourth grade that lets you go to a different part of the school library. And there I found my very first book on UFOs. And I was, as they say in England, gobsmacked. I was in awe. I'm like, what are these things? And even in seventh grade, I'm doing research on UFOs for a school project. That was me. I'm the kid who brought home all the UFO books and Bigfoot books and Loch Ness Monster books. And I'm 56 years old. And my mom sees me coming home reading all these UFO books and never says a word. Until 2 years ago, I talked about it at our church. She came up to me and she said, you know, I saw you, me and Mert, who's our old neighbor from Pine Bluff, saw a UFO by our house. I went, what? You didn't tell me? No. I said, what happened? There's a lake, and I could get on Google Earth and show you the lake. We lived on the riverside of the levee out by Cottonfield, outside of Pine Bluff, Arkansas. If you've been to Pine Bluff, you sort of know the area. There was a paper mill there. I don't know if it's still there now, but our neighbor worked at the paper mill. And our neighbors were friends with Mom and Dad, and her and Mert is what they called her. They're coming back one night from somewhere, and over that lake is this glowing saucer disc hovering over the lake. And when Mom and her friend looked at it out of the car, they slowed down, looked at it for a couple of seconds, and then it went gone. And they both looked at each other. And I said, what'd you do after that? She said, well, I went home and told your dad. I said, what did he say? You're drunk. She said, that night I wasn't. reason why I'm here tonight. Here's the picture I promised you. They were just driving down the road, and they took a picture of the Rocky Mountains, and they didn't know anything was there. If I showed you more of the picture, you could actually see the blur at the bottom that tells you that they're in a car, they got the window rolled down, she's taking a picture of the Rocky Mountains, and they're very beautiful, by the way. But after they got to looking at it, they made this picture, made this little, that's the worst arrow I've ever seen in my life. But when you zoom in on it, it's still in color. You can sort of see. And what you can see is it's lifting the clouds. It's obviously rising up, and it's pulling the clouds. So this is a material object, because it is lifting up the cloud layers that it just came through. And here's the close-up of it with it highlighted so that you can see the windows here. Yeah, right there. It is. It's monstrous. It is a monstrous thing, and people don't know what they are. And again, I say there's such a taboo about it. If I speak about it at a church, I usually don't get asked back. Now, let me take it this direction. You might forgive me because I'm going to have to go over here like this and peek down here and look at this verse. Deuteronomy 17. God said, I'm going to give you the brief part of this in verse 3. They have gone and served other gods. Do you believe that there are other gods besides our God, the Most High God? And so what are they? What are these little g gods? Huh? False gods. That's one way of saying it. But are they real? Do they exist? God said they did. And he said, and have gone and served other gods and worshipped them, either the sun or moon or, here it is, or any of the host of heaven. Now that phrase, host of heaven, is usually always a reference in your King James Bible to angels. Amen. The heavenly host is the angelic realm. And so here's God putting these two phrases together. Gods and heavenly hosts. The luminary objects in the sky that we see every night. And now with the James Webb telescope, the Hubble telescope, now we know that there's way more stars than we could have ever possibly imagined. And we don't even have the ability to count them all. And what did God say about the number of angels? There we are in the innumerable company of angels, which means they cannot be numbered. Neither can the stars, can they? Amen. Amen. So, Deuteronomy 13. In fact, turn to Deuteronomy 13. What really should scare you tonight is not the subject that I'm talking about. It's the fact that my PowerPoint was so big and long I couldn't download it on my tablet. That's what should scare you. Because it won't be a while. Certain men, children of Belial. You know who Belial is? Who's Belial? Satan. And the Baal part in there, Belial, is part of where Baal's name comes from. Are gone out from among you and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which ye have not known. So what is your Bible telling you? They're new gods. They're not gods that people have seen before. They're new ones, which our fathers have not known. Hello. Oh, I did something. There. Deuteronomy 32, they sacrificed unto devils, not to God. To gods. Now the Bible is putting these two words together. The word devils and the word gods. So what are gods according to the Bible? Devils. The Bible put those two words together for you. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods, that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Judges chapter 2, an angel of the Lord came up. We read this last night. Out of Bochum and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto a land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods. Watch this. Their gods shall be a snare unto you. What are these gods? They're devils. So let me just ease your mind a little bit. I don't believe they're like Marvin Martian with ray guns going to blow up the earth because it blocks his view of Venus. Now, that's not what I believe. They are principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what I believe. And I believe that I'm going to try to prove it to you tonight. I'm teaching you about the gods mentioned in the Bible. What does God say about those gods? Okay? I have said... you got to turn to Psalm 82. Psalm 82. Jesus actually quoted this verse. Psalm 82, verse 6. I've said, ye're gods. Little g. And all of you are children of the Most High. And he's referring to the angelic realm. But you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. What did I talk about last night? Principalities. So what is a prince in the Bible? Turn to Ezekiel 37. What is a prince in the Bible? Oh, not Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 38. Excuse me. I made a mistake. You forgive me? Ezekiel 38, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him. He's a chief prince. What does that mean? Remember last night I taught you that a principality is a devil or a spirit, an evil spirit that rules over a person or rules over a household. So let me ask you a question. And if I asked you a question, would you be honest tonight? Nobody's shaking their head. If I asked you a question, would you be honest tonight? This church, I'm being honest with you. I'm sticking my neck out here. Have you ever seen anything in your house that you knew didn't belong there? It appeared and disappeared. Who said yes? Would it be okay for you to tell what you saw?
I don't know if it was in my head or if it was not, because I haven't ever seen something like that before. But it was positive. And there were no lights on, but I could still see the shadow. That's why I don't know if it was in my head, it was my imagination.
You saw a shadow?
Yes.
Let me tell you.
And it moved.
Thousands of people have not only seen shadow people, but photographed them. I saw one last night on a photograph. Somebody had taken a photograph in an old apartment or something like that, and they took it in a mirror, and it was a woman, and she was standing there. The first photograph she took, there was nothing behind her, and she took another photograph the second time into a mirror, and there was a shadow figure standing right behind her, and it wasn't her shadow. So you're not alone. Okay? At our church, there are people who have seen a little boy. And nobody knows what it is. Well, we do. It's a familiar spirit. It is the very definition of what a familiar spirit is. And people at our church say they have seen it. They have heard it make noises. They've heard the piano play. You can believe it or not. Do you believe in ghosts? They're devils, aren't they? I mean, let's just say it. They're devils. They're spirits. They're gods. They're not all in hell. Devils don't come from hell. There are some roaming here right now. Maybe even in this room. I know there's angels here.
Amen.
There are angels here.
Amen.
Hopefully they're fighting off the shadows.
Right.
And the creepies. And the boogers.
Yep. Right. Amen.
Did I say that word right? Boogers? No, you got to be in Arkansas long enough. They're boogers.
I've only been down for like 7 years. So.
Revelation 6:12, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth. And I always looked at that verse, and I'm going, okay, so there's going to be a big meteor shower on the earth. But that's not what it says. It says the stars of heaven fell unto the earth. Now, from what we know, our sun is a star, and then the nearest star to Earth, I think is, I don't remember the name of it. Alpha Centauri, maybe, something like that. But most of the stars, I mean, are hundreds of light years away, millions of light years away, billions of light years away, and they're humongous. Some of them make our sun look like a dot on a piece of paper. That's how big some of them are. So I'm going, how does that work? How are these things going to fall to the earth? Well, when you believe the Bible, it starts to make sense. In Revelation 12, there's a war in heaven. The dragon takes his tail and he takes the third part of the stars of heaven and casts them to the earth. Remember what I said last night. God is so smart, he can take an innumerable amount and cut off a third of it. Okay? I can't even cut a third of a pie off. So Revelation 12:7 tells you what those stars were. There was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought and his angels. And they're the one third that belonged to the devil. They serve him. And prevailed not. Neither was there. Aren't you glad that the devils didn't prevail? Neither was the place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So that's the Bible telling you that these stars are angels. So what's really going to fall to the earth? A third of the angels are going to get kicked out of heaven, and they're going to fall to the earth. Now, go back to that verse in Psalm 82. Let's read that again. Who in here has heard of the Roswell incident? Raise your hand. Never heard of it? Don't know what it is. I had that coming up, and I'll tell you what it is in a little bit. But let's read this verse again. Psalm 82, I've said, you're gods. But then he said in verse 7, you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. And what he's telling you is that God is going to kick these gods out of heaven and they're going to fall to the earth. And then they're going to do something that spirits don't do. They're going to die just like we die. That's what your Bible just told you. Now, what did these gods look like? And have people seen them? You said you saw a shadow. Okay? In our church, this devil looks like a little boy. Somebody said that it looked like his hair was on fire. No, I've not seen it. I've not experienced it. I've not heard it. Nothing. But I don't discount the people who tell me that they have. And I have people that write me all the time, tell me their story, their encounter with things in their room, seeing little things crawling around in their room. People, when they see them, yell out the name of Jesus and they scatter. So what did these gods look like? Well, the ancients, these are the Sumerian gods. And I want you to look here. That's not a great picture, but it looks like some sort of ship in the air standing over these little creatures with big eyes. That's what most people report. Not all people. They're different types. And this here, notice here, there is an image of the sun, and there is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. What are those? It's the sun and the seven stars or seven planets in our solar system from Earth's view. I had the verse up here on the screen, Revelation 1:16. He had in his right hand seven stars. Who is that? It's Christ, isn't it? And he said, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. So Christ is the sun. And Jesus said, where two or more of you are gathered together, there am I in the midst of you. So where does the sun sit in relation to the rest of the planets in our system? In the middle. And all the other planets revolve around the sun. Now from Earth's perspective, there are seven planets. Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune. Pluto was kicked out. Pluto, they said, is not big enough to be a planet. It's a planetoid. It's a little baby planet. So it's not a real planet. So let me go through that again. Mercury, from Earth perspective, from our view, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune. Seven of them. Now, how did the Sumerians know that there was a sun and seven planets? Because the only one, the farthest one that you can actually see with the eye is Saturn.
Wow.
Uranus and Neptune cannot be seen with the eye. So, number one, how did the Sumerians know that they were there? Number two, how did John know it? Because Jesus told him what they were. Amen? And what you have right here in that verse is a perfect picture of our solar system, where we live, from Earth's perspective. Now, this is, again, a big-headed god with big eyes, and he has a hand raised like this. Now, that's not carved into a rock wall somewhere. That's carved on the side of a mountain in Nazca, Peru. It's about 1,000 feet tall. That's how big it is. Big head, big eyes. See that? Steven Spielberg, that was the second UFO movie that he made, E.T. The first one was Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Steven Spielberg is a big believer in UFOs, life outside of the Earth, and the two movies that he's made on that subject. He is in favor of these things. In fact, E.T. was basically about a god in the sky who fell from the sky, crashed onto the earth, died like men die, rose from the dead, gave Elliot, the kid, illumination, went up into the sky but said, I'll be back. What does that sound like to you? He's mocking Jesus Christ, isn't he? But where did he get his image for E.T.? Big head, big eyes, almond-shaped eyes. These are called the Igigi. And I'm sure everybody knows what the word Igigi means. It's like booger.
Oh.
No, it means big eyes. Okay, it means eyes. You see the flying ship. You see the god there, Marduk, who has wings. So he's an angelic being, and he flies through the sky. Here's some more. These are actually snake or serpent-looking gods. Are there serpent gods? Who knows what Quetzalcoatl is? Does anybody know who Quetzalcoatl is? He was the serpent god of the Mexicans. When Cortez landed in Mexico and found Montezuma, he discovered his religion, and their religion was all pyramid-based. Why are there pyramids in Egypt, and why are there pyramids in China? Why are there pyramids in Russia? And there are pyramids, leftover pyramids in Africa. There are pyramids all over Mexico, Central America, and South America. Those are the high places, I believe, mentioned in the scriptures. Let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. And they always did their rituals on the top of those pyramids. But they worshipped a god called Quetzalcoatl. And the word Quetzalcoatl means feathered serpent. A serpent with a plume of feathers on it. In the Bible terms, it is a fiery flying serpent. Who in here has ever read of the fiery flying serpents in the Bible? Who in here remembers the story in the book of Numbers about the Jews complaining to Moses and God sent fiery serpents among them and bit them? Who remembers that story? Those are spirits. Those were not rattlesnakes. Those were not boa constrictors. Those were not pythons. They were not anything else. They were devils. Spirits. That's why medicine couldn't heal them. Grace did. Didn't it? Look and live, my brother. Live, look to Jesus now and live. Where do we get that song? From that story where God sent devil, spirit, serpents biting and killing all those people. And here you have gods up here that look like snakes, reptiles. Here's some more. And we're starting to get this idea of the common image now of what they call an ET. Or a little gray. A little 3 foot tall, gray bodied, big head, almond shaped eyes that are black. This is the Dogu from Japan. Notice the eyes. These are just different gods from the past that people drew. And they're all sort of a similar look to them. Notice, you always notice the eyes. This is from Iraq. These are actually reptile gods. They're serpent gods. And some are male and some are female. The females are actually, they're actually nursing their children. Here's more of a close-up image of that. Here's some more close-up images of these gods. This is China. Notice the eyes. I'm not sure where this is from, but notice the eyes, large head, little body. We're seeing a similar pattern everywhere we go in history. I think this image here is Aboriginal art. Now we're looking at something that looks more familiar to what people say they have seen in our time. The grays, they call them. The little gray aliens with the big heads and the big dark eyes. In India, their gods always flew in chariots. This is where I'm going. Chariots. Think of chariots, okay? You know, like Ben-Hur, you know? Okay, or the Ten Commandments where Pharaoh's chasing Moses with his chariots, right? That's a story right out of the Bible. So think of chariots. That's okay. And so the Indian gods, they always flew around in chariots. And here in this picture here, you actually have a war going on in the sky between different gods, and they're throwing things at one another and throwing spears and all kinds of stuff. These are the ancient sky chariots that just happen to look like flying saucers. There's some here. Trying to move through some of this. This is the god Apollo here. He's the sun god, and they believe that Apollo was the sun, and the sun was drawn across the sky on a chariot with horses. Here is a Chinese drawing of two gods in a sky chariot flying through the air. Here is a god who is riding a chariot. He's the sun god. This is the sun here. He's the sun god, and he's riding a chariot made of serpents. This is the Hindu sun god Surya. And Surya sits on a four-wheeled chariot and is driven, because you got to have four-wheel drive, right? So they drag their god. Their gods don't fly through the air. They're taken across the air in chariots. Now, the Vimanas from India. These ships depicted chariots of the gods flying through the heavens, able to go anywhere at almost any speed. Now, I'm going to show you that almost that exact phrase in your Bible in just a minute. Let's see here. What am I doing? Going backwards? I don't want to go backwards. There we go. Here's some more of them. This was just recently found in India. Don't ask me to pronounce that word. But it's in India. And I want you to notice this guy down here, because I'm going to put him next to another image here. They're virtually identical. This was a painting of the Madonna, the Virgin Mary, and the artist drew himself here, looking up in the sky at this. Put it in the painting, his painting of the Madonna. This hangs in a church somewhere in Europe. Who is this? Who is that? What? Elijah? No, it's a picture of Elijah. Elijah's not... No, never mind. It's Elijah. And how did he go to heaven? A chariot. Of what? What was it made of?
Fire.
And the horses were made of?
Fire.
That's because God says he made his angels of fire. His ministers of flaming fire is what he said. He made literally the angelic realm out of fire. I don't understand that, but I believe it. Because we think the good angels show up. The angel that showed up at the tomb, what does his face look like? It was as bright as lightning, the Bible says. He's glowing. He's bright. He is made of a spiritual flame that just shines bright. That's Elijah riding his chariot, and we're going to look at that too in a minute. Psalm 68:17. Turn there, please. And if you write in your Bible or underline things, underline this verse, because this is very important to what I'm trying to tell you. Very important. Without this verse, I wouldn't talk about this. So what does it say in Psalm 68:17? Let's look at it. The chariots of God. Now let's stop right here, and we're just going to break this apart. Number one, God owns chariots. God owns chariots. Number one, the chariots of God are 20,000. Number two, God owns more chariots than you. Amen? Because I've only got two. And one of them, I lost the keys again to it. It's twice now I've lost the keys to my car. And I don't know where they are. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. Number three, God's chariots are alive. His chariots are not made out of wood and rubber tires with a gas engine. That's not what his chariot is made out of. His chariot literally is made of, that's what it says. It is made of angels. So, let me go back to, I'm going the wrong way again. That picture of Elijah going into heaven. That chariot that God sent down to get him with was a living creature, a living being, like what Elijah saw. We're going to go, or excuse me, Ezekiel saw. We're going to Ezekiel 1 if you want to go ahead and turn there, because we're headed there in just a little bit. We're going to go in depth to it. So Ezekiel 1, look here, I'm already there. Ezekiel 1, turn your Bibles there, let's go through this. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. That's how we study the Bible. We don't get it all in one place. We get it from here and there. God wants you to read the whole thing. Amen?
Amen.
Not just, I know John 3:16. So the first chapter of Ezekiel is shown God's chariot. He is shown the chariot that God rides in. So the Bible says, let's start in verse 4, and I looked and beheld a whirlwind came out of the north. Now what took Elijah up into heaven when he got in the chariot?
A whirlwind.
A whirlwind. So now we see the same thing here, don't we? Only now the whirlwind is coming down from heaven, and it's going to bring God and his chariot down to the earth. And behold, a whirlwind came out of the north. That's an entirely two-hour teaching on the direction of the north in the Bible and what's up there. But anyway, they came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself. That's like a whirlwind. And a brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof as the color of amber. And out of the midst of the... What does amber look like?
Fire.
Yeah, it's like the color of fire. Many of the reports of UFOs said they saw an amber-colored glowing thing in the sky. My son said he saw one when he was about 17 years old. The midst thereof the color of amber. So could he be wrong? Not according to the Bible. Verse 5. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four what? Living creatures. Not four 2x4 boards. Not four cushioned seats. Four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. And means they were humanoid in shape. And everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings. And their feet, what do you need wings for? To fly with. And their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was as the feet of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. What does brass look like? What color is brass? It's amber, and it looks like. What did God when God sent the fiery serpents to the Israelites? What did God tell Moses to make? Put a fiery serpent on a pole. So he made a serpent made out of what?
Brass.
Brass is a symbol of fire in the Bible. Burnished brass. And they had the hands of... verse 8. Verse 12. Let's go to verse 12. And they went, everyone straight forward. Whither the Spirit was to go, they went, and they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the, verse 13, as for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire and like the appearance of lamps. Why is it that when a lot of people see UFOs, what do they see? What catches their eye?
The lights.
The lights. There's lights on them, glowing lights, burning lamps all over the place. What did we see in that disc rising up from the clouds? What did we see? We saw lights there. Lamps, the appearance of lamps. And it went up and down among the living creatures. And a lot of people see these things in these UFOs, these lights moving around. Sometimes in a circular fashion, sometimes in random patterns. Are they wrong? Not according to the Bible. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures, watch this. The living creatures ran and returned. How? Went forth like lightning. How fast does lightning go? Have you ever tried to take a picture of a lightning strike? You can't. Well, what you have to do is have a camera that you can open the shutter on and leave the shutter open during a thunderstorm somewhere, and you'll eventually catch lightning strikes down to the earth, and you close the shutter and anyway. But generally, you just don't go, oh, wait a minute. Click, got it. Because they're fast. Now, I want you to know, what do we just say about the Vimanas, the flying chariots from India, that they had the ability to go as fast as they wanted to. Nearly, probably the speed of light. That's how fast lightning is. Now watch this. I want to show you the difference between our physics and what you're seeing here. If I get in my car and I want to go 60 miles an hour, when I hit the gas, am I right now doing 60 miles an hour? I have to accelerate 10 miles, 20 miles, 30 miles, 50 miles, 60 miles. Speed limit's 40. But I'm doing 60 now. Yeah, there you go. I'm doing 60 now. Yeah, and here comes the light, right? Yeah. I have an unidentified cop. Anyway, then if you're going to stop, you don't just stop, do you? Because what would happen? You'd go through the windshield. Anybody that has a sudden stop like into a tree, they're dead. But this chariot ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. That means they had instant acceleration and instant deceleration without speeding up or slowing down. It means that they had the ability to make right-hand turns without banking, like an airplane, without slowing down. If I make a right-hand turn, I have to slow down to make the turn. These things had the ability to make right-hand turns, left-hand turns, up and down, without the physics that bind us in this world. Does everybody understand that? So when people see these objects, they say they were moving at one of the first guys that saw what they called flying saucers. A guy was flying a plane up one around the mountains around Washington State, and he saw nine objects, and he said they were moving at 3,000 miles an hour. And this was 1947, and we didn't have anything in 1947 that traveled at 3,000 miles an hour. But he clocked them. And he said, that's how fast they were going. And he said, they were skipping, like jumping from here to there, without stopping, without accelerating, without slowing down, without banking. And he said, it looked like what you were doing yesterday, throwing a rock across the water. He said, it was like skipping saucers across water. The news picked that up and said that he saw flying saucers. But that's not really what he saw. And I'll show you that in a little bit. But that's how they move. Now look at verse 15. Now as I beheld the living creatures, behold one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of beryl, and they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Now, I'm not exactly sure what Ezekiel saw, but I believe the Bible. Amen. Some form of wheeled mechanism with a wheel inside of a wheel. Now, that, listen to this now, was not even attached to the chariot. They were by the side of the chariot. Verse 17. When they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful. Are there planets that have rings? My impression of what he's saying here is a wheel in the middle of a wheel is like Saturn. Saturn, the planet, is a big ball like a wheel. That qualifies as a wheel. And the ring around it qualifies as a wheel as well. I sort of think that that's the imagery. Because Jupiter has rings. We didn't know that. For thousands of years we didn't know it until they were detected recently. Jupiter has rings. Saturn has rings. Neptune has rings. These planets that are far out there, they all have rings. Verse 18, as for the rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and the rings were full of eyes round about them four. Eyes like windows. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. And watch this. Verse 20, whithersoever the spirit was to go, the spirit of the angels, who operated in tandem together. They were always operating the same way, going in the same direction. So, whatever way their spirit was to go, they went. And the wheels were lifted up over against them. Watch this. For the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. Amen. When you put a spirit in something, what is it now? It's alive. It's a living thing. Their spirit told the wheels which way to go. Hey, we're going up. Hey, we're going left. We're going to the right. We're going south now. And the spirit of the four living creatures controlled the movements of the wheels. Now, let's see here. Verse 21, when those went, these went, and when those stood, these stood, and when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them. It says it again, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. It says it twice. Now in verse 26, I'm skipping 22, 23, 24, 25 for time's sake. There was a firmament, a platform on there. And it says in verse 26, and above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a what? A throne. Whose throne was it? Jesus. Yeah, it was Jesus. As the appearance of a sapphire stone. You think King Charles has a nice looking throne? I can show you one better one of these days. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. Who was the man? Jesus Christ. Amen. He sits on the throne. Amen. And he moves around in a chariot. That's what our Bible just told us. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins upward, even from the appearance of his loins even downward. I saw as was the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. And let's see, where are we? Verse 28, as the appearance of the bow that was in the cloud in the day of rain. What does that bring to mind? Noah. And the covenant that God made. He said, when I bring the cloud over the land, the bow will be seen in the cloud. Guess who the bow is? It's Jesus Christ. Because he's the light. And when the sunlight shines through the water droplets of the clouds, it diffuses and breaks apart the light strands and turns it into the seven colors of the rainbow that you see in the sky. Isn't that beautiful? That's because Christ is the sun. Amen. So was the appearance of the brightness round about it. And look at it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Amen. Do you know what's in Exodus 16? It's the day when God gave Israel manna. And the Bible says that a cloud appeared and the glory of the Lord was in the cloud. Guess who that is? It's Jesus. He's coming in the cloud. Somebody say amen. Woo! And he's got a hot rod out of this world. and it's four-wheel drive. And Ezekiel said, when I saw it, I fell upon my face. I fell upon my face. Why? He knows who that is. Amen. So, and I've been asked this several times. If God is God, why does he need a chariot? Can't God be everywhere?
Yes.
Well, let me ask you this question. If God is God, why does he need a city? But he built one. It's called the Holy City, New Jerusalem. And he's going to, and he lives there, doesn't he?
Amen.
Jerusalem above. Right now, he's in Jerusalem above. Paul said in Galatians, chapter 5. Jerusalem above, which is free, which is the mother of us all, the Bible says. So why does God live in a city? Why does God live in a beautiful, glorious city that our eyes have not beheld? Why does God live there? Why did God create beautiful canyons on this earth? Why did God plant beautiful grass plains in the earth? Why did God make beautiful pine forests everywhere? Why did God make these beautiful oceans of blue water in places all over the earth? Why did God make these clouds at nearly dark look so absolutely glorious that you just want to stand there and stare at it for hours? Because everything that God does is glorious. He's a glorious God. Amen? Let me give you an example here. This is the hearse that carried Queen Elizabeth II's body from the airport outside of London to Buckingham Palace. Queen Elizabeth herself helped design this. She got with a guy that was an expert in creating cars, and she told the guy what she wanted. Most hearses, the windows are blacking out or they have curtains over them, apparently because nobody likes to see a coffin going down the road. I don't know, but most of them you can't see inside. She didn't want that. Queen Elizabeth, if she was anything, she was very well aware of who she was to the British people. She was their monarch. She was their royal. She was their queen. And you know, she's not perfect. She made mistakes. Her family's made a lot of mistakes. But she was, to all those who met her, all those who got to see her, they said she was the most kindest woman you could ever meet. Because she knew she was queen, she said this. She said, queens have to be seen to be believed. And when you see a monarch, when you see a king or a queen in the royal array, you just can't help but look at that. And it's eye candy. It's very pleasing to the eyes. But the drapery, the flag that covers her coffin has decorative lions. That's the symbol of the monarchy of England. The lion comes. It goes all the way back to King Richard, who was Coeur de Lion, the lion-hearted. Richard the lion-hearted. He was a brave king. He was a king like David that went out and actually fought in battles instead of sat at home and said, go fight this war. And it goes all the way back to him and the symbolism of the lion. And she has these windows, and they're on the top, and they're on all the sides, and lights shining down on it. Because she said, I want when I die, I want the people to be able to see me in my last journey as their queen.
Wow.
That's why she did it. And did you see the video? The Queen's hearse traveling through London? There was millions of people standing on the roadside. They pulled their cars over, got out to stand, to curtsy, to bow to the Queen of England. It was their last goodbye. Listen, the British people, for the most part, do not hate their monarch. Their motto is God save the king or God save the queen. That's their theme song. And it's real to them. And I told you the other night why I believe God has survived the British monarchy, the British crown. Here's her chariot. Does that look like your car? No. If it did, it's getting stolen. Amen. Do you know what this is? You know what this is? No, the painting. Let me do a close up. It's Christ sitting on his throne in Revelation 7, surrounded by all the nations of the world. There are black people, there are white people, there are Asian people on here. It's right out of Revelation 7, where all the nations surround the throne of the Lamb and give praise to the Lamb. She put that on her carriage. Okay? She's not saying that she's Christ. But, like I said, according to what people said, she was a faithful servant to the Church of England. She took her religion seriously. I don't think much of their religion, but she took it seriously. And everything about her was about the church. She was the head of the Church of England. That was her role. That's why queens and kings cannot get divorced, because the rules of the Church of England say you cannot get divorced and be a king. That's why she never did. But that's a chariot. Why do queens ride around in Volkswagens? They can, but they don't. It's to be seen as royal. So this chariot now in Ezekiel 1, do you understand it a little bit better? The one that Elijah went up in heaven to, do you understand that a little bit better now? It's a chariot, and it's alive. It's made of angels. It's a living thing. And God made them. And there's thousands of them. He said 20,000, even thousands, which means there's at least 20,000 and thousands more. Now, you want to hear my theory? All right, let's move on. First Kings 7. You want to hear my theory?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Matthew chapter 24. After the tribulation of those days, Christ shall appear in the clouds. And at the sound of the trumpet, he shall send his angels from the four winds to gather together his elect from the four winds of the heaven and the four corners of the earth. You know what I think? I think Elijah is us being gathered by angels into heaven. And the angels are all chariots. Wouldn't that be neat? Huh? Yeah. No, it's not going to be a UFO. It's going to be an identified flying object. Now, so there's good angels, right? And there are... So now do you understand where I'm going with this? What are those things flying around in the sky? Evil angels. Gods. Devils. Spirits. And they're not good. In 1 Kings 7, let me just say this briefly. When Solomon built, look at 1 Kings 7. When Solomon built in the most holy place where the Ark of the Covenant was going to be, the throne of God, just like Ezekiel saw, and Solomon didn't know Ezekiel. Ezekiel came way after Solomon. When Solomon built the most holy place, he built a firmament, a sea of glass, and underneath it, he put four golden wheels, like a chariot, four wheels, the work of a chariot wheel, axle trees, naves, and felloes, and their spokes. So they were the spokes of a chariot wheel. Their nades and their fellows are the things that join them together and make them the four wheels of a chariot. And then the Ark of the Covenant set upon that, just exactly the way Ezekiel described in Ezekiel chapter 1, when he saw the throne on the firmament with the wheels underneath it and the four angels moving it around. Solomon did that before Ezekiel ever saw it in heaven. Who do you think gave that idea to Solomon? The Holy Ghost did. 2 Kings 2, and it came to pass as they still went on and talked that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and a horse of fire. This is Elijah. And parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Remember the whirlwind that came down. Well, Elijah gets in the chariot, and the whirlwind takes the chariot and the horses and Elijah up into heaven. My theory is the angels that Jesus sends after us are going to be those horses of fire and chariots of fire. Let me have my fun. Listen, I'm going to go home and get beat up for being here this week. I promise you, not by people and not by my wife. I get beat up by devils hard. Devils tried to kill my son-in-law. And I will. If I do something good for God, and it's God's way of keeping me humble, so it's fine. But I just know when I get home and I'm done here, I'm going to get beat up. So let me have my fun tonight. Okay? Now, here's what I want to tell you. If you don't believe a word I'm saying tonight, you go read your Bible. Is that fair enough? Because I know you people, I know you believe the Bible. So you don't have to agree with anything I say. But you do have to agree with the Word of God. And I'm just trying to point something out to you that is so real. Hundreds, I'm talking millions of people in the world are seeing these things every single day. Militaries all over the world are encountering these things every day. But for years, in the American Air Force or the Naval Air Force, if they saw a UFO and they got off of their plane and tried to report it, they were reduced in rank and threatened with court-martial and threatened to be have their pension taken away and all kinds of things. For a guy in the military who is given the ability to defend our nation and he's seen things flying over our country that he does not know what they are or where they came from, and then he goes to his superiors and reports it, he gets chewed out for it. So now Congress had to step in and tell the Pentagon, from now on, we want a system of reporting to the seniors in the Air Force, the Navy, the Naval Air Force, whatever it is, the Army, whoever sees one, we want a system of reporting what they saw, and you better not treat our soldiers with contempt for telling what they saw. I believe in treating our soldiers good, don't you?
Amen,
amen to that. You remember the story in 2 Kings where, who is it, Gehazi, Elisha's servant, he's freaking out. He said, go and spy, let me look at this, go and spy where he is that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore he sent thither horses and chariots and a great horse. Who sent horses and chariots? The enemy. The enemies of Israel sent chariots after the Israelites. Are you catching this? What did Pharaoh send after the Israelites? Chariots. What did, what's his name? In Judges, he came with 900 chariots of iron after the Israelites. Iron is the Iron Kingdom in Daniel chapter 2. So anyway, verse 15, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" And he answered, "Fear not." Are you telling me to fear not? I'm freaking out here. I've got anxiety and PTSD. Don't tell me to calm down. And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. They are more with us than are with them. It's simple math. Two-thirds of the angels is more than one-third of the angels.
Amen.
See how simple that is? Give me two-thirds of the pie, not a third. By the way, I only got one piece today. I'm sorry, but I only... And when they came down, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, "Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness." And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Woo-hoo! I love that. But what were those chariots of fire and horses of fire? They were angels, weren't they? Living beings that God sent down to protect Elisha and the people of God from the other chariots. "For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire." What did God say that he's going to send to the earth in his anger? Chariots like a whirlwind. Isn't that what we just saw? Jeremiah 4:13, "Behold, he shall come up as clouds, and his chariot shall be as a whirlwind. His horses are swifter than eagles. Woe unto us, for we are spoiled." God, here now, twice, two witnesses are telling you that God is sending to this earth chariots like whirlwinds that are swifter than eagles. Two witnesses told you that. Do you believe the Bible? And let me ask you a question. What army today fights with horses and chariots? None. So who's he sending? Gods, devils, spirits, evil angels. Does it make sense now? Zechariah 6, "I turned and lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, there came four chariots out from between two mountains. And the mountains were mountains of brass." Remember what brass is. "And the first chariot, red horses. And the second chariot, black horses. The third chariot, white horses. The fourth chariot, grizzly and bay." Have you ever seen this before? The different colored horses? White, red, black, pale? Revelation 6. The opening of the first forces. We call it the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Here they are right here. And what are they? "Then I answered and said unto the angel that talked with me, What are these, my Lord? And the angel answered and said, These are the four spirits of the heavens." What were they? Spirits. What were the chariots? Spirits. "When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." Let me ask you a question. What did God do to Pharaoh's chariots? How did he stop them? Huh? What moves the chariot? Wheels. What did God do to the chariots? Knock the wheels off. Now horses are dragging a big box full of soldiers. And they can't go nowhere. You know what that symbolizes to me? The angels that God kicks out of heaven, and he takes their immortality away, and they're going to die like men.
Wow.
Because God killed every one of those Egyptians, didn't he? And he used God's people as bait. That's us. You're always the bait. Amen? "Oh, and Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his hosts together, and there were 32 kings with him." So if you have Ben-Hadad, a king, and you have 32 other kings, how many do you have? Who knows anything about Freemasonry? I'll just tell you, don't belong. Don't join the lodge. It is pure Satan worship. And I can prove it. I can prove it using a King James Bible. I can prove it. Their high number is 33. And here you have 33 kings coming out against Israel with chariots. Took away horses, and the kings of Judah had given to the sun at the entering into the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan-Melech, the chamberlain which was in the suburbs, and burned the chariots of the sun with fire. I was always wondered what those chariots of the sun were. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots. So let me tell you a little bit about what is happening in this world right now. Not everybody is afraid of these UFOs. There are Pentagon people. There are leaders among people all over the world that believe that these UFOs and the inhabitants of them are going to be our saviors. That they are the ascended gods, the masters who have ascended, and they are smarter than we are, they have more technology, and we want them to come down and bring us their technology and enlighten us so that we can have peace on earth. That's what they believe. These are the people that God said, some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, because they're many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Well, I'm glad I don't chase after UFOs thinking, oh, come to me. But people, I know people that do. Trust me, I do. Let me move through some of this. This is, who is this? Yeah, I can't remember his name. He's the guy I was talking about. Flying up at, I think it was Mount Shasta, Washington. And what he's doing, he heard that a plane went down and crashed in Mount Shasta. And he's flying around Mount Shasta in his plane, 1947. And that's when he sees, they're not saucers. They look like these objects here. He had an artist, he drew it out, and he had an artist draw up these pictures. This is, the press got it wrong, newspapers got it wrong. They were not saucer-shaped. That's called planform, is what the shape is. Like a boomerang, almost. That's what he saw. This happened in Los Angeles, February 25th, 1942. It's called the Battle of Los Angeles. There were UFOs everywhere above the sky. You see, in 1942, we're already skittish about what could happen because World War II had already started. We had just got into the war. What, December 7th, 1941? So now, February 1942, we have these objects flying off the coast or at over Los Angeles, California, and we have the military firing things at them because they think it might be the Japanese or the Germans or somebody. And not a one of them hit any object. Not a one. Roswell, this is the story of Roswell. This is why Psalm 82 is so important to this. The Holy Ghost gave me this 1 o'clock in the morning. Holy Ghost always quotes Scripture to me. And I like that because I only trust Scripture. But here's the story. And I had a problem with this for a long time. What happened was we had Roswell, the RAAF is Roswell Army Air Force. Because the Air Force was in the Army at that time. The Air Force was separated after World War II. So this is 1947. Roswell Army Air Force Base is the only place in the world where there was atomic bombs. The only place in the world. So they had built a radar array way out, far away from Roswell, that would detect something approaching the Air Force base in time to intercept it. And something happened, and it wasn't just a saucer crashing to the earth. It was hit by something. 3 years later, they found what it was hit by. It was another saucer, miles away. The farmer, the rancher, goes out into his field and sees this debris everywhere. And he calls the sheriff. Sheriff comes out, looks at it, sees debris everywhere, sees a part of a ship, a saucer, sticking out of the ground. They call the Roswell Army Air Force Base. They go out and look at it. It's a flying saucer. They called the newspaper and said, "We have captured a flying saucer." That's what you're seeing. That was the newspaper of Roswell that came out the day after they found it. The next day, orders came down from the Pentagon, from Washington, D.C., saying, take pictures of a guy with a busted up weather balloon and tell them we didn't find a flying saucer, there is no such thing. But that's not what happened. A man by the name of Colonel Philip Corso saw the bodies, wrote a book about it the day after Roswell. You know what? If you want to know anything about Mike Hoggard, I love the Bible and I believe it. I believe what it says. And there is no Santa Claus in the Bible, is there? And there is no Santa Claus. There's no pictures of Santa Claus. There's no pictures of reindeer flying in the air. There's nothing like that. But are there pictures of saucers in the air, flying ships? Are there pictures of that? Are there videos of that? Are there documented evidence from the military released by the Pentagon? Three specific ships. One they called the Tic Tac. One they called the Gimbal. One they called the Go Fast. And it was banking and making moves that these pilots are going, this is not possible. The radar expert who was part of the naval group that saw, there was a whole fleet of these things, their radar only reaches to 80,000 feet. So when they first appeared on his radar, they were at 80,000 feet and they dropped instantly to ocean level in less than a second. That is not physically, you cannot fly that fast downward. It's not physically possible. But that's what he reported. A fleet of them dropped 80,000 feet in less than a second. Naval radar, a guy that we hired to protect our country. If he's lying, we're in trouble. Because we got idiots flying airplanes. But they saw them. They videoed them. They reported them. Matthew 24, look in verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. And then look at it. The stars shall fall from where? And the powers of the heaven shall be. That's Revelation 6, isn't it? The sixth seal. And then, not before, then shall the sign of the Son of Man, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds like a rainbow of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a... What are we waiting to hear? The trumpet! The last trump. Not the Donald. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. That's what I just read. That's what I believe. We're going to see them fall first. Then we're gathered. That's what I believe. And I can't believe anything else, because then that would violate this scripture, and scripture cannot be broken. So don't try to break scripture on me. Amen. Anybody else have any questions? Yes, Brandon.
To try to cover it up.
The official The official statement now of the United States government, according to the congressional hearings in May of 2022, this year, the official statement of our government is UFOs are real. That's the United States Congress declaring to the nation, we've got something to worry about. That's your government. That's not ever happened in U.S. government history. Other nations have said it before us, but there has never been a time when our government ever said this is real. But now they are. And anyway, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I love you. I love your word. And I know, Father, that truth is truth, lies are lies, and I'm capable of both. So, Father, if I have said anything not true tonight, chastise your son. Call me not a bastard, but chastise me. Bring me back to truth and repentance. Because I do not want to mislead anybody. And Father, you know what I prayed all the way back in 2000 when you first called me to do this. I asked you, God, don't let me lie to these people. So Father, I love these people. They love you. They love your word. They believe it. But Father, sometimes some things are hard to understand. They're hard for us to grasp. They're hard for us to see. So Father, even Lord, when we don't understand the Bible, help us to believe the Bible. Give us your grace in these last days, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen.